Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
Pastor, thank you for being here. We want to hear from you and how it all began, as far as I know that you're a Detroit pastor, and how you ended up meeting President Trump, how that relationship started.
I am so Holy Ghost happy to be here with you this morning.
Oh, thank you. So,
thank you for having me.
Oh, well, I just feel blessed that you're here, and I love Holy Ghost happy. I love that term. But you, first and foremost, it was important for you, I think, Pastor, to have a unifying prayer and tribute on Martin Luther King Jr. Day. So, how did that all come about for you? Can you kind of share the backstory with us?
Can you believe it? I was born and raised on the east side of Detroit, mentored by murderers, student of the streets. My dad is in prison for murder today. Can you imagine President Donald J. Trump coming to the hood? Now, there's the hood, and then there's the hood, right? I mean, you have women being openly human trafficked. You have a methadone clinic where people are getting federally funded heroin. You have people that can't read, write, do math. Detroit is 50% functionally illiterate in terms of its adult population. Its children, our students, are about 80% functionally illiterate, not reading at grade level. Can you imagine it? The poverty level. Over 100,000 homes we've lost in the last 10 years in the city of Detroit. I mean, I just want you to picture that it was voted the most unsafe place to live, the neediest place in 2022, Detroit, Michigan. And President Donald Trump, he came. Did you know that a Republican hadn't come since Reagan? Do you know that a Republican hadn't come to Detroit since Reagan? I thought it was a joke. I thought it was Ashton Kutcher playing "I'm Punked on You." I'm not joking.
Yeah.
I was, as a matter of fact, when they told me, his campaign team called me, it was on a Thursday. They sent the paperwork over on a Friday. I didn't even look at it. I signed it. I didn't even care what it said. I just signed it because I thought it was a joke. I just sent it back. I'm like, yeah, right. There's no way. Well, lo and behold, he comes. And when he came, he was so genuine. He did a roundtable. He didn't speak to us. He listened to us. And then he made a promise to me. And I have it all captured. He said to me, at the inauguration, you'll be there. Can you imagine that? And then I preached at the RNC, as perhaps you know. I preached on the day that he received his nomination. I preached at the RNC. And then 3 weeks ago, I was on my way to my good friend Charlie Kirk's event. And my son was with me. And when we landed in Arizona, I took my phone off an airplane mold, and I had a plethora of messages from the Trump team that encapsulated, call me. It had an urgency to it. So the Trump team said to me, what are you doing on January 20th? I said, let me check my schedule. And then I saw that was Dr. Martin Luther King's birthday. So I asked the good Lord, how would he have me pray? And he said, why don't you pray the dream? I said, how do I do that? He said, I'll show you. And that's what happened on Monday. The good Lord allowed me by his grace to talk to him and to use Dr. King's dream as the very content in the context of an inauguration. It was awesome.
It was. You were great. As I say, we were at a huge venue, and everybody just stood up and gave you a standing ovation. But I just want to ask you what the reaction has been since, because there's always a saying. Obviously, you're someone who committed your life to serving Jesus Christ and reaching out to the community. This was an opportunity for you to witness to people who maybe are hurting, maybe they're post-pandemic. We hear about the mental health crisis, people who have not heard the message. And what has been your reaction?
This moment, God has used politics as a bait to catch fish all over the world. Mm-hmm. He has used it. Literally, we've had people come from all over the world to our church. We've had people get in the cars and literally just drive, not even knowing when our services are. That happened after the RNC. But today, after 2 days after the inauguration, I've had people from all over the world, literally, as I'm still in Washington, and people come up to me and they say, I'm not even religious. I don't even I don't even want anything to do with God. And they said, since you prayed, I'm considering to give my heart to Christ. I've had people who are atheists. I had a Satanist. Can you imagine this? Someone who worships Satan come and say, you know what? I want to give my life to Jesus. And that's what all this is about. It's not just about the spiritual impact. It's about the political impact. And that's why I'm staying in Washington here for the next few days. I want to start the minority Republican caucus where we can get every minority into the party. People like me, people, my Jewish brothers, my Middle Eastern brothers and sisters, those who have never had a seat at the table in the party. I'll be meeting with Mike Whitley. I'll meet with the speaker, Mike Johnson, to pray with him today. I'm meeting with the cabinet members that are being confirmed to pray with them and to also lobby for this so that we can expand the party.
Reverend Lorenzo Sewell, we continue the conversation. A couple of questions. You know, what will your prayer be? And I have to ask you the question as far as with President Trump, is he saved? Is he someone that you feel God has put you here to, I mean, seriously, give him the message that if you proclaim Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are saved.
The millimeter miracle.
Yeah. This is a very good question. When we were in Georgia together, he came up to me, and similar to what he said to me on Monday about me being special. And yesterday I woke up, and I went to the cathedral, and I was sitting with the First Family yesterday. And I believe the reason why God had me so close to the First Family is to this point. I do believe that God wants me to explain the gospel clearly to him, for him to understand that, in order for him to confess Christ as his Lord and Savior. That is important to me. That is the utmost reason why I believe God has put me in this position, in order for me to proclaim the gospel, because that's the only reason why someone like me would have an opportunity like this, is to make sure the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is understood by our president and received by him.
That's beautiful. And the fact that you were there in the cathedral with the bishop, and that was my first reaction was, it was sad to me that I did not hear her quote. She could have, I mean, there are a million quotes from Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. She could have said, I did not hear her just preach the word, but I heard her lecturing in a political way. What was your take? You were right there, Reverend Sewell.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was a theological malpractice. That's what it was. What an opportunity to be able to proclaim and preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And instead of doing that, you use your pulpit for a political agenda to, quite frankly, lecture the leader of the free world after America said, this is who we want to be our leader. Wow. Wow. It was theological malpractice like I've never seen in my life. I've been praying for her. I'm praying that she would repent. I'm praying that she would humble herself up under the mighty hand of God, and she would go to our president and repent for that message, because that message, first of all, it was a false dichotomy that it betrayed or implied that all Latinos, you know, clean rooms and pick cotton, picking fields. And I'm thinking, like, what is she talking about? And then she superimposed her LGBTQ plus community antics into scripture as if she was speaking for God. It was theological malpractice like I've never seen in my life. And we prayed after people came up to me, we prayed throughout that church. We bind up every demonic spirit. We prayed against every single weapon that the enemy tried to form against our president, that it will not prosper. We prayed that yesterday over him. Someone actually captured it and posted it on Instagram, because we didn't want our president to be deceived into thinking that that was from God. Mm-hmm. Actually, his grandchildren looked over at me almost to see if I was validating the heresy that she was teaching. It was awful. It was awful. And this is why people don't like preachers getting into politics, because of people like that, they have no political prowess.
Yeah, you put that perfectly and beautifully, and I love that your reaction and others was to, you know, to pray about this and pray for her. I did want to, you know, I think I'm getting messages from people. So people want to support you and your ministry and your church. And so that brings me to my next question, which I guess is it called the Lorenzo coin, or you have a, you have something new that I want to share with people?
So listen, now you cannot make this up. I am literally on my way back from prayer on Monday. I get a call from my boss. I don't take a salary from the church because during COVID, we felt like the Lord told my wife and I donate everything to the church. He would take care of us. So we do help with housing because that's a part of our mission. We build modular factories. We build houses indoors. And the president of the organization called me, and I'm like, this is weird. Why is he calling me now? He never would do that. I mean, never. So he's my boss. I pick up the phone. Hey, you know, I happen to have Cardinal Dolan right there. And, and he said, you need to go on TikTok right now and endorse this coin. And I'm thinking, okay, this is my boss telling me to do it. Okay, so I did it. His son was monitoring Bitcoin, and someone had made a coin. Someone had actually made a Lorenzo Sewell coin. From the time that I spoke until the time that I was heading back to my hotel, which is about 90 minutes, someone had begun to try to profit off of my name, image, and likeness. His son actually purchased the coin. And then he began to let me know how to endorse it so people know that it's my coin. And I'm going to tell you this. It's been doing very well. Every dollar is going toward the church. And it has been going amazing. We have a young man that are homeless in our church right now that we're looking to build a house for. We're looking to provide transportation and housing for. And God, out of his kindness, used this financial institution. We want to be the first crypto-backed church. That's our goal. We want to be the first crypto-backed church.
Now, did you know much about crypto? Because that's, you know, it's like a leap of faith on many levels here.
Well, that's my gift. If you've not noticed, my gift, that's my spiritual gift, yes, is the gift of faith. So literally, all I knew, see, God has given me the blessedness of being able to discern people with a good character and be able to trust their wisdom. So I knew through the conversations, God, remember, I just prayed over the nation, and now I'm getting messages about crypto.
That's amazing.
And now I feel like God just saying, make the video. I just had peace to do what the Lord wanted me to do. And do you know, by the time we, from the time that we prayed to the time we closed out the day, the coin had gone up to, I think it was valued at like 11 million or something, astronomical number. And we were like, whoa. So we locked it so people knew that we weren't trying to pull the rug out from under them. And it's locked from 2070. So if people would buy that coin, they would invest in that coin. Every dollar is going toward ministry.
Beautiful. Wow. Well, Reverend Sewell, thank you so much. I know you have to go. I know you're there and doing God's work, but thank you for sharing your message, and you made my day. I think you made all of our week, so thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Don Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.